right. Well, good morning, everybody. Got a few folks in the house today sitting cleverly apart from one another, but we're so glad to have our worship team, production team in the house, and so glad to have everybody online this morning. This is the second week of us going completely online, and you know, I knew that, you know, online church was a trend and was going to be increasing, but I never thought I would ever see the day when we were completely online, and we're living in a time in history unlike any other. This is a time that we're going to reflect on for generations, and I know Jesus will be back before we get to that point, but there's a lot of fear and panic right now, and I believe with all my heart that God is working in the midst of all of this. I like what Joseph said. Joseph said, "What you intended for harm, God intended for good, for the saving of many lives." So I really believe with all my heart, God is taking what the devil meant for harm, and he's turning around in our favor. And we're going to see good come from the midst of the mess. I'm excited to see how many people are connecting and watching online right now, because we have something the world is searching for. Do you know what that is? Toilet paper. Look at that beauty right there. Look at the size of this thing. I still can't figure out why everybody is buying this stuff and not food. I mean, really, think about it. You can't eat this, right? When I'm hungry, I go to the pantry, not the bathroom, right? I don't take a bite out of this. You can't sink your teeth into this. You can't chew on this. So anyway, I don't know what the panic is over toilet paper. Anyway, it's a thing, but I'm excited about what's going on with our online presence, because last week we reached nearly 1,000 people with our online service, and that is amazing. I just want to give God praise for that, and we're reaching more people than we were reaching a month ago, okay, even 3 weeks ago. We're reaching more people now than we reached on Easter, the last two Easters combined. So God is good and God is faithful, and he is working this thing around. I love Romans 8:28. We know that God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to this purpose. So not just for this church, but for your life and your life and your life. God will work even this season for your good. So keep trusting God. Keep standing on his word, because God is still God and his word cannot fail. He is faithful to every promise. So don't let your mind go down the rabbit hole of worry and of fear. And today's message is going to help you a little bit with that. So let's look at the word of God in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and normally this is where I would tell everybody that we have free Bibles under our seats for to use, but let me tell you about the YouVersion Bible app. It is a free Bible app that you can download on your phone or tablet, or you can view online. It's provided absolutely free by Life Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's YouVersion, Y-O-U version. And I encourage you, if you're not already using that, use it. It's a wonderful free resource for you. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Today we're going to talk about God's mercy. God's mercy. Lord, I thank you for being with us, God, today, wherever we are as a church family. And I thank you for those who are listening today for the first time. God, I pray that you would speak to their heart, that they would be encouraged and challenged, God, to draw near to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm starting a new series today called Transformed. And I couldn't think of a better time than now to talk about renewing our minds. Okay, we're going to deal with the issue of our thought life, because the mind, I talked about this last Sunday, the mind is the battlefield where the devil fights. The battlefield of the mind. And the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." In other words, the way you think determines who you become. Your life will move in the direction of your thinking. Okay, some people say you are what you eat, but I say you are what you think. I recently heard a trainer say, your body can handle just about anything. It's your mind that you have to convince. Oftentimes in life, our problems can be traced back to wrong attitudes, wrong mindsets, and wrong decisions. I like what Zig Ziglar called it. He called it stinking thinking. Tell your neighbor, watch out for stinking thinking. If you don't have a neighbor, tell yourself, watch out for stinking thinking. And it's my prayer that as you watch each week of this series, that you open your heart and open your mind and allow the Word of God to have an impact to change the way you think. And I believe that if you can allow God to change the way you think, your whole life will be changed. Your life follows the directions of your thoughts. Okay? Do you want to know where the key to breakthrough is? 9 times out of 10, it's right up here. Okay, let's look back at Romans 12. Romans 12, 1. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. It's your true and proper worship. Verse 2 is the key. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. What is the pattern of this world right now? It is panic and fear and chaos, death and destruction. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. This is how we're transformed, by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll know and prove God's good and perfect will. So today, over the next few minutes, I want to give you two simple yet powerful verses. We're going to look at these and explore what that means for our lives today. So it starts off by saying this. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Okay, if I could sum up today's message in just one sentence, it would be this. Everything we do in life should be done in view of God's mercy. Amen. Everything. When I read that verse in Romans 12, I'm reminded of an address that Abraham Lincoln gave at the end of the Civil War. No, I wasn't there, but my dad was. He told me all about it. All right. General Lee had just surrendered, and President Lincoln gave a speech from the balcony of the White House, giving his plans to rebuild the South. And at the end of his speech, Senator Harlan asked the president, "What shall we do with the rebels?" A large crowd had gathered around the White House, and they began shouting, "Hang them." And in that moment, President Lincoln felt a tugging at his coattail, and he looked down, and Tad, his 11-year-old son, was standing there, and he said, "No, Papa, don't hang them. Hang on to them." President Lincoln looked back at the crowd and shouted joyfully, "That's it. Tad has it. We shall hang on to them." Far too many Christians are in the hanging business. Come on, they would rather hang people for their wrongdoings. They would rather hang them than hang on to them and try to help them through it. Hello. It's quiet in this church today, but I have a feeling if it was full, it would still be quiet right now. If we're going to be the church God's called us to be, we have to let go of the hang them mindset and adopt the hang on to them mentality. Galatians 6:1 says this, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit of God should restore that person gently." Wow, that verse just said a whole lot, didn't it? It's almost as if we pretend that verse doesn't exist. I'm going to read it again. Galatians 6:1, "If anyone's caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted." In other words, if you're going to help somebody who's struggling with drinking, you probably don't need to sit down with them at the bar to encourage them. Uh-oh. Verse 2, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ." So we've got to stop hanging people and start hanging on to them. Come on, tell somebody, "I'll hang on to you." Come on, tell them, "Hang on to me. Don't touch me. Don't cough on me. Don't come within 6 feet of me, but hang on to me." Notice Galatians doesn't say when somebody's caught in sin, look the other way. Okay, we can't go from one extreme to the other. Bible doesn't say that because we're obligated as Christians to stand for truth. Okay? Loving somebody doesn't mean overlooking and approving passively of their lifestyle. Okay? We're obligated as people of the book, okay, when people fall into sin, to restore them, but to do so gently and in love. This hanging mentality is so harmful to the body of Christ, and it's time to put an end to it in Jesus' name. You see, this series is about changing, in a lot of ways, how we think about ourselves, but before we can do that, we have to start changing the way we think about each other. A lot of people in our world today think Christians are judgmental. And do you know why they think that? Because Christians are judgmental. That's why. I'm not talking about calling sin, sin. Jesus was not afraid to call out sin. He was bold in proclaiming truth, and we ought to be bold too. But Jesus was also bold in the way he loved sinners. I think about the woman who was caught in adultery. A group of Pharisees, a group of church elders, brought a woman to Jesus, and they said, "Jesus, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery." Now, time out. How did they catch her in the very act of adultery? Y'all ever thought about that? I think one of them might have been involved in that, but anyway, that's just my theory. But they took her and they threw her at the feet of Jesus, humiliated her, and they said, according to the law, she should be put to death. She's guilty. She should die for her sins. They had a hanger mentality. Jesus stopped, ignored them, and started writing in the dirt. Boy, Hudson would love Jesus. That boy loves to write in the dirt, too. Jesus started writing in the dirt. He thought about it for a moment. Then he looked up at them and said, "He who is without sin, cast the first stone." And one by one, they all walked away. Jesus, John 8:10, you can read the story in John chapter 8, a beautiful story of mercy. Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." You see, Jesus offered her mercy. He offered her forgiveness, and he told her, "Don't keep sinning. It's not okay what you did. Don't keep doing it." But here is the love and the mercy of God. Your sins are forgiven, and go live your life accordingly. He stood for the truth and he restored her in love. But here's where we get into trouble. When people fall into sin and when they make mistakes, instead of helping them back up, we make examples of them. Hello. Somebody calls you and confesses their deepest, darkest secrets, and they confess their sins to you. Instead of hanging up the phone and going to their house and loving on them and helping them get back on their feet, you hang up the phone and you call 10 other people and say, you will not believe what they did. Come on. We kick them while they're down. People have said that the army of God is the only army on earth that kills its wounded. I've seen it happen too many times. Have you? And here's the thing that we as Christians need to understand, that most of the time, people are not judging us in how we treat unbelievers. People are judging us based on how we treat one another. Woo! Glad it's an empty room, because otherwise it'd be tough today. John 13:34, "New commandment I give you, love one another." Jesus said, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." I think anyone who knows the Bible understands that not everybody who says they're a Christian is really a Christian. So how do you know the real from the false? Jesus said it right there. They'll know you're my disciples because you love each other. Listen, you say that you're a Christian, but if all you do is talk bad about other pastors and run down churches and gossip and talk bad about other Christians and go around ruining people's reputations, well, sugar, hate to be the one to tell you, but maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you just think you are. Because you can say Jesus is Lord of my life, But if you don't love your fellow believers, then he's not Lord. Come on, somebody help me preach today. Come on, say, if you don't love, then he's not Lord. And I'll tell you why. Because Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. Nobody preached love your brothers and sisters in Christ more than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said, who is not with me is against me, and who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So if you're going around talking bad about people that Jesus died on the cross to save, you're not working with Jesus, you're working against him. Don't worry, it'll be encouraging before this is done this morning. Don't close your phone yet. Amen. Matthew 12:25. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. When we go around talking bad about other Christians, we go around pointing out other people's mistakes. When we shun people just because they messed up, we're not strengthening God's kingdom. We're tearing it down. Jesus has commanded us to love all people, but we should treat other believers especially well. You can't pick and choose which Christians to be good to. You should be good to anyone who is a fellow Christian. Amen. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all. In other words, treat everybody right, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. So for the love of God, we've got to stop hanging people and start hanging on to them, because we need each other, and especially right now. I can't think of a better time for us to be encouraging one another, building each other up, praying for one another, and helping meet each other's needs. Amen? So tell somebody or text somebody, email somebody something. Tell them, I'm going to hang on to you, and you hang on to me. Amen. All right. Thank you. Let me expose the plan of the enemy this morning. Let me tell you the number one reason why we kill our wounded. The number one cause of church-on-church crime. Okay, this is why we turn our backs on those who stumble. Because we're insecure people. The enemy uses insecurity like you cannot imagine. Because insecure people are always looking for somebody who is worse off than they are. The more you mess up, the better I feel about myself. Why do we kick people when they're down? Because it makes us feel better about our own issues. Hello. I was feeling convicted about my own sins, but as soon as I saw how messed up he is, I ain't worried about me anymore. He's really bad. Hello. The enemy uses our insecurity to turn us against each other. And you know what insecurity is? It's selfishness in disguise. The more you look at yourself and the more you think about yourself and the more you focus on yourself, the more insecure you'll become. I had a friend who got a bill from his trash service. It was a waste company. And it was twice what he normally got in a month. It was a very large bill. And he went on a rant for days. He would not stop talking. We'll just call it Waste Plus. We'll make up a name. He was all wet. That Waste Plus. They're just trying to ruin my life. They're just trying to get me. I can't believe they did that. They're trying to mess me over. They're trying to take my money. They're trying to put me in the poorhouse and take food off of my table. And finally, his wife said, "You know what? You know what I think happened? I think that Waste Plus sat down and they had a corporate meeting and all of their head people sat around the board table and they got a conference call with all their employees and said, let's figure out how we could ruin this guy's life." The more you look at yourself, the more you think about yourself, the more you focus on yourself, the more the world revolves around you, the more insecure you'll become. And because we're so focused on ourselves, insecurity is running rampant. So how do we deal with insecurity? Here's the answer. This is my first point. And my last point today. This is it today. We need to get rid of the me mindset and adopt the mercy mindset. Get rid of the me mindset and adopt a mercy mindset. Because God is calling us to be people of mercy. Yes. Now more than ever before, people around us need love and they need mercy. Micah 6:8, this is one of the first Bible verses my father ever taught me as a child. He wrote a song about it. I'll never forget it. Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? What does it mean to love mercy? It means to show people mercy every chance we get. To love mercy, to look for opportunities to love and to help and to restore people. When people fall, we don't have a me mentality that says, ha ha, they messed up. When we have the mercy mentality, we say, if it wasn't for the grace of God, that would be me. How can I help them get back on their feet? Hello. The mercy mindset. The mercy mindset never forgets we're nothing without the grace of God. I love what Jesus said. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If it wasn't for Jesus, we would all be in hell, in jail, or out on bail. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, none of us would have hope. But thank God for his great mercy. And because he gave his mercy to us, we have the privilege of extending his mercy to everyone we meet. God is calling us to be people of mercy. And if I've learned anything in ministry and anything in life, I've learned this: people will fail you. Okay? In your family, at work, in your friends, people will fail you. People will fall into sin. People will make mistakes. People are going to disappoint you. But here's what else I've learned. When people fall, they need somebody to help them get up again. When you have a mercy mindset, you immediately come alongside them and help them get back on their feet. And if the people of God won't do that, tell me, who will? If the people of God don't help them, who's going to help them? You see, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ ambassadors. You are an ambassador of Jesus on the earth. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God has made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So as we begin this series on the mind, let's start by choosing to be people of mercy. Let's make the decision in advance, because you can't make this decision in the moment. Because in the moment, emotions take over. We got to make up our mind ahead of time that we're not going to hang people. We're going to hang on to them. When people mess up, when they fail, we're not going to be people who are out of our own insecurities, take advantage of their weakness, but we're going to be people of mercy like God. We're going to help restore them and bring them back to the place they need to be. Amen? So let's be people of unity. Let's walk in love with other believers. Let's be quick to show mercy at every opportunity. And will you join us for just a moment of prayer? We're almost done this morning. Let's just pray that we would be people of mercy and have a heart of mercy.
Lord, I just thank you for your mercy. God, I just thank you that in a time of uncertainty, the one thing that we have to depend on is your love, your peace, your kindness, and your mercy, Father. And Lord, I just thank you right now where we are, Lord. No matter where we're sitting in our bed, if we're sitting on the front row, if we're driving down the road watching this, Lord, that right now peace and mercy just floods into the atmosphere of wherever you are, Father. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your mercy. Lord, I thank you that whenever I didn't deserve your mercy, Father, that you gave me mercy. Lord, help us. as believers, Father, to show your mercy to people who need to see your mercy. God, help us to show your love, Father. Lord, let us be Christians, Father, that show your love, that when we walk into the room, your mercy and your love radiates out of us, not hate, not judgment, Father, but that your love and your mercy just flows through us, Father. Lord, meet us right now where we are, Father God. And if we've not shown mercy and love, Father, to other believers or unbelievers, let today be that day that that changes, Father. Let us be the light that you have given us in our hearts, Father. Let us be light in the darkness, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for your mercy and for your peace, Father. Lord, we just give you glory, Father. And Lord, I just thank you that you showed the ultimate love, that you showed the ultimate sacrifice, that you showed us unconditional love the day that you died on that cross. And even though we don't deserve the pain and the anguish that you went through, you loved us that much. You said, I love them enough that even in their darkest hour, when they've turned their back, when they've been mean and hateful, I'm going to bear this just because I love them. And undeservingly, I'm going to give them that love. And I'm going to give you the opportunity right now. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, if you've never made him the Lord of your life, that right now's your opportunity. That if you were to walk out of your home right now, or if you were to get in your car and something were to happen, and you say, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. I'm not sure. Right now's your chance. And it's a simple prayer to just repeat after me, no matter where you're at, whether you're in the bed, driving down the road, you just repeat this simple prayer. Right after me, repeat it. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. I believe in you. Save me, Jesus. Set me free. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. And with your help, I'm gonna live for you the rest of my life. In your name I pray, amen. I believe that with all of my heart, that if you said that prayer and you believe that Jesus died on the cross, that you are saved and that your life is never going to be the same. And we just thank you. And we just want to take a moment just to tell God how much we love him, how thankful we are for his mercy. So over the next just minute, let's just praise him for his goodness. Let's just praise him for his mercy. Let's just thank him for his love. Let's just thank him for his kindness. As we just take a moment just to sing this song, just give God glory and honor. Because even though right now it may seem like your midnight hour, we've been through worse. And God's going to bring you out of whatever you're in. Let's just take time to worship. us become overwhelmed by your presence right now. Lord, I thank you for that presence, Father. I thank you that it has met us wherever we are, Father, that there's no distance in prayer. And Lord, I just thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Father. Lord, I pray that as we close this service out, Lord, God, you know of every need that is before us, Father. You know of the burdens that people are carrying, Father. And Lord, right now we give them to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that we cast all of our cares upon you. Lord, I thank you, Father, for miracles taking place during this time. That even though the church may not be in the same building, that we're outside the walls, Father. And Lord, I thank you for people being healed of cancer, Father. Lord, that cancer cells are falling off of people right now as I speak, Father. Lord, I thank you for depression being broken off of people, Father. And for addiction, Lord, for them to be completely set free. That chains of bondage that have held people down, Father. Lord, that they are being completely broken off, Father. Lord, I just thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega. That you know the beginning from the end, Father. God, I thank you that in this time that where people think that there's going to be financial decrease, that you increase, Father. Lord, that we see more salvations and people coming to know you, Father. Lord, that this is not a time where we go and crawl into a hole, Father. But God, that we become more like you and that we become bold and that our faith increases, Father. Lord, I just thank you for your miracle working power. Lord, I thank you for being with us this week, Father. Lord, give us wisdom, protect us. Lord, I thank you, and right now I speak to this coronavirus. I speak to it in the name of Jesus. And when I speak that name, it has to stop. Lord, I thank you that the spread of it is going to stop in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Father, that not one more person is going to become infected with it, Lord. But God, that people who have it now, we speak healing into their body. And that the numbers of infections are decreasing, Father, and not increasing. God, I thank you, Father, for doing a miracle work, Father. Lord, for people have spoke doom and gloom, that they see your power, that they see your glory, Father. And Lord, we give you glory and honor. I thank you for your protection. Lord, be with us this week. I thank you for filling us with strength and hope and peace. And Lord, we thank you for this being done. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Church, online, community, know that we love you, that we are praying for you. Bring your red cards by, fill them out online. Make sure you like our Facebook page. Go to our YouTube page. Keep looking at our social media for updates, and just know we love you.